Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
If, and I can't know this for certain, so it is a hypothetical, but what if a pitcher just becomes stronger through critical usage? Good morning to you. Good Tuesday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Pirates. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or hockey. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Penguins in the same place that you found this. Pirates 4, Brewers 2 last night at PNC Park. The six-game losing streak is over. An actual, I don't know, sputtering of offense occurred, which was welcome. Andrew McCutchen and O'Neill Cruz were key to that sputtering. That also was welcome. But let's not pretend this wasn't about Jared Jones. Six innings, one run, four hits, seven strikeouts again. Two walks, 25 whiffs. That's a fairly new term for a fairly old concept, meaning just plain old swings and misses at the plate. He's got more of those than anybody in Major League Baseball right now. But the part that jumped out is the part, if I can be that guy, that should have occurred the game I was covering last Wednesday in New York. Because he was allowed to pitch. In fact, his pitch count in this game reached, gasp, 91. And what's more, Derek Shelton let him pitch through a bases-loaded jam to close out that sixth. This was what Jones had to say about getting out of that situation.
It's the mentality I have. We preach knowing your identity, and sticking to my identity is key for me. As soon as I get away from it, I feel like that's when things go bad. So sticking with that identity that I do have, it's key.
You got a comebacker from Blake Perkins. Ran it over himself to first base for a casual flip to Rowdy Tellez, and that was the end of that. And he got the job done. And you could see as he was making his way off the field toward the dugout, there was a big whoo. And that's good. That's what you want. Look, I'll say this again. I'm not being some sort of, you know, Neanderthal here when it comes to pitcher's health. I believe it should be the priority. I also believe it should be something that comes with some semblance of logic to it, or a pattern. And having him pitch on 4 days rest in New York didn't make any sense when he could have just pitched the next day against the Mets and been allowed to just pitch. But it also doesn't make sense when you look at most of his starts, he's been in the 80 to 90 range for pitch counts, and that one day in New York, he's at 59. Why? I don't know. And neither do they. But there was Derek Shelton last night basically just lauding the kid for exactly what I'm talking about here.
I think this is the first time going back to the first start we've seen him, and I'm going to use the word struggle very lightly, but he didn't have his sharpest command at times, and then he was able to battle through it. And I think it's a testament to the kid. I mean, the sixth inning, bases loaded, and to get Perkins out there, that's a growth moment, because he's legitimately had four games without a lot of stress. And, you know, there's no bigger stress than bases loaded.
I'm going to repeat this from yesterday's rather spirited episode, but none of this was on Shelton. He knows that. Everybody over his head knows that. Everybody under his head knows that. This wasn't on Shelton. These are decisions that get made at the general manager level. And what I mean when I say general manager level means Ben Cherington, but also Steve Sanders and other people in his immediate circle. They then will get on the horn with Shelton wherever the team happens to be, or if they're in Pittsburgh, as they are now, but they obviously weren't in New York, they'll actually get together in Shelton's office, which has multiple couches and plenty of other friendly places for people to sit, and they'll talk it out. But ultimately, what they talk out is going to be the general manager's call. They're all going to look to the GM at the end of that talk. So Cherington apparently rolling Shelton and his staff under the bus on his Sunday radio show made no sense. None, especially since Cherington went on to say that he thought they made the right decision, but he used the word they. Why? Why? When did all of a sudden they become a they as opposed to a we? Hear me out here. This kid, Jared Jones, is special. I don't use that term a lot. I really don't. What he's done to date is special. Listen to this from the Elias Sports Bureau late last night. Since 1893, that was an 18, as in the century of the Civil War. Since 1893, when baseball moved the mound to plate distance to 60 feet and 6 inches, no pitcher has ever had 35 or more strikeouts against 4 or fewer walks in their first 5 big league games until Jones. One more time, because it's a lot to take in. Since 1983, when they moved the mound to plate distance to where it still is today, 60 feet, 6 inches, this kid is the first pitcher to ever have 35 or more strikeouts against 4 or fewer walks. Ever. That's nuts. Let him pitch. Let him pitch. Let Paul Skenes pitch. Stop putting outward leashes on them. Figure out a way in advance to monitor their workloads. Make it clear to them what those will be in advance and knock off the haphazard element to it. Knock off any lack of predictability. Knock off any impact that it has on your team to win or lose games. When we come back, J1Q. This portion of Daily Shot of Pirates is brought to you by our friends at North Shore Tavern. That's directly across Federal Street from PNC Park. It's home of Steak on a Stone, an eating experience, underscoring the word experience. The steak is brought to you partially cooked on an 800-degree stone, and you do the rest. It's a ton of fun, it's a great meal, and it's a baseball atmosphere like no other in Pittsburgh. North Shore Tavern, right across Federal Street from PNC Park. Today's J1Q comes from James, who says, "Hi, Dan. I was wondering, regarding your Monday column on the Pirates' embarrassing management, although I'm very accustomed to reading columns of yours where you're critical of management and coaching staffs, what's it like to have to pen columns like that while also trying to maintain amicable professional relationships with the general manager, the managers, and the coaches? Do they understand that it's nothing personal? Does it make your interactions with someone like Ben Cherington awkward the next time you see him? Are you ever in danger of limits to your access to the team and staff, depending on your level of criticism? Would it even deter you if you were?" There's a lot there, James. I'll try to answer all of it, though, as concisely as I can. Plain and simple, I have a job to do. And that job does not involve the Pirates. I don't work for them. I don't work with them. I'm not beholden to them in any capacity other than what's considered to be professional conduct. And that conduct is ultimately on the company that employs you. Now, I own this company. So I employ me. So it's incumbent on me to maintain professional conduct and decorum. And basically what that means is if I go into a press conference and I start doing like Heil Hitler signs and have my right arm up, I'm going to be in some kind of trouble because that's just not the way those things are supposed to go. I know I'm getting extreme on you here and I don't mean to be flip, but there's almost no examples. And I'm not talking about with me. I'm talking about anywhere, not just in Pittsburgh, where you see a reporter lose access or lose a credential, certainly not with an established outlet. And our outlet, I'm proud to say, is now in its 10th year, and we've been authorized by everything from the International Olympic Committee on down. So that's something that gets tossed around quite a bit on social media and that sort of thing. And, oh, so-and-so is going to lose their access. Ooh, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It has to be something just beyond extreme. Criticizing the team doesn't make the list, believe me. And this column that I wrote Monday, which got an awful lot of traffic and feedback and everything else, and I'm grateful for all of that, regardless of the nature of it, whether it's positive, negative, falls very much into that category. I didn't say that Ben Cherington was a terrible human being. I didn't say that Derek Shelton, did awful things in his life or stuff like that that would be libelous, that would be reckless. I pointed out baseball decisions. I pointed out motivations or possible motivations behind baseball decisions. I pointed out inconsistencies in the way those things have been applied, such as what I had just mentioned in the previous segment about the strange they remark from Cherington. Now, am I going to get a glare or even a conversation or something like that on occasion? Sure. Sure, that happens. But what you don't know, James, is that I invite that. I encourage that. I'd rather hear back from someone that I'm criticizing than to not have any kind of response at all. Because just as in human relationships, as opposed to, media relationships, the more things stay pent up, the worse they end up becoming in the end when it all comes bursting out. I'd like to think that after a lifetime on the Pittsburgh sports scene and more than a decade of doing it in a columnist's role where you're reporting, but you're also doing so via opinion that gets expressed, that I've built up enough credibility with the teams and the people that I cover that they would understand that it isn't personal. Now, not all of them can do that. And most of them, to be totally honest with you, will at least wonder, first and foremost, if there is something up that's personal. Ideally, over time, if and when they do things that are intelligent, and if and when they do things that help their team succeed, and they see that I work just as hard to find out how and why those things happened, and for whom I should be giving credit, then that evens out. It's not comfortable, it's not friendly, but anybody who gets into this business, regardless if it's covering City Hall or a presidential race or whatever it is, to make friends or to play favorites, they are in the wrong business. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Pirates. And if you want to know what column James is talking about, I wrote that for DK Pittsburgh Sports. You can still find it on our Pirates page. When you open up the app, just press the big Pirates logo at the bottom. Thumb down a bit and you'll find it there.